Welcome to In Depth with Francis Rose for Tuesday, June 18th, 2013, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today, looking at reinventing government, just as the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee did on Capitol Hill today. And my guest in studio is Steve Goodrich. He's the president and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence and vice chairman of the Government Transformation Initiative. Steve, it's good to have you in studio. You've been with me on the phone before, and it's good to have you here. Thanks for coming
in today.
Thanks,
Francis. Thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. And your boss will join us in a moment. David Walker is chairman of the Government Transformation Initiative and the former Comptroller General of the United States, and he was a witness at the hearing that we're going to talk about here in just a moment, and he's on his way over from Capitol Hill. I'd like to start, though, first. Tell me about the Government Transformation Initiative, and then we'll talk about how we got connected and why you're here today.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, GTI, or the Government Transformation Initiative, is a coalition of nonprofit and for-profit organizations that came together with a desire to really do something about our federal government and make it much more efficient, effective, economical, and credible for the American people.
The GTI has been around for how long?
Oh, we've been around about 8 or 9 months.
So it's a new organization. This is a topic that General Walker has been on, though, since his time inside government. And he was a witness, as I mentioned, at this hearing called Reinventing Government on Capitol Hill today. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, along with Steve Goldsmith of the Kennedy School at Harvard, Elaine Kmark of the Brookings Institution, Dan Chenick of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, and J. David Cox, the president of the American Federation of Government Employees. So why range of viewpoints there and a wide range of experiences and backgrounds about what makes government work and what makes it work well. Tell me what you took away from the questioning, not just for your colleague, General Walker, but also to the other witnesses that were there, kind of the tenor of the questions, the sense of the room, I guess.
Well, the sense of the room, you know, it was certainly a full committee today, which was really good to see because there's a lot of interest in this topic. And the number one takeaway is there's a real interest in moving forward and doing something. Both the panelists and the members really understand that there's a lot of things not working in government these days, and we have to find a way to make this different.
Did you get a sense, though, that there is any consensus on how to do it? Because one of the big problems people see on Capitol Hill is people agree on a problem but not necessarily on a solution.
Well, I think there's consensus, as I said, that something needs to be done, and there needs to be some kind of mechanism that makes things more efficient and effective. There'll be detractions, and there'll certainly be ideas on the way things should go forward. But what's nice to really see about today and what really kicked off today is the willingness to have the conversation.
The way that we got to having you and Dave here today was a conversation that you and I had on this program a couple of weeks back when the Office of Management and Budget announced the essentially the inventory list of government programs that they started as required by the GIPR Modernization Act. Identifying the programs is, as you told me then, in your view, a good start. How much of a start is it, though, on the road to whatever has to come next, do you think?
Well, as you probably surmise as well, there's a lot that happens across government that we don't know about. We've never had a real clear inventory of everything that goes on across government. So by identifying it and certainly coupling it with GAO's good work around fragmentation, duplication of programs, so forth and so on, we have a real opportunity now to create a framework or a baseline with which to establish a set of criteria to start identifying programs and going and start to assess programs that need support.
The idea of going through those GAO reports is something that, for one, Senator Tom Coburn has advised. There are a number of other members too, but he's been on that in the last couple of years in particular. Senator Coburn will be a guest on the program on Thursday to talk about that very issue and some other things too. But using that as a roadmap, do you believe that those three GAO reports are the place to start for this in conjunction with this inventory that OMB now has online?
Well, I think we have to get consensus from both the White House and the Hill as to where to start. But I think it does provide a good, solid framework. you know, GAO does really good work, but they don't have actionable recommendations. They identify where things are at high risk or need focus. But then you really need to look at it. You need to take a deep dive into these programs to really see where there's actionable opportunity to create the efficiency and economy that we need within the government. So that's why I call it a really good starting point. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to focus on what, you know, where Congress is coming from in terms of policy, because policymaking is their job, and certainly the imperatives of the White House and what the executive branch is trying to accomplish.
As I went through each of those programs, though, and spoke to Ms. Clowers from the Government Accountability Office about the most recent report, she was on the program when the latest report first came out. As I went through each of these and discussed each of the things, it doesn't seem that any of this is reinventing the wheel. The answers seem to be in hand. They seem to be available, and it seems to be an idea of what is it that we have the will to do. Is that a reasonable assumption on my part?
Well, certainly there's will and there's political will to do, as we know, and there's always a little bit of it's great, let's do this, but not in my backyard.
Right.
The fact is, there is no entity in government that'll actually look at the level that's required to start addressing some of these programs. You know, Congress is busy with policy, and they expect the executive branch to implement these things and implement them wisely. OMB, you know, certainly directs goal setting and inventory, but they don't necessarily have the bandwidth. And the IGs are focused on, you know, fraud and abuse and those kinds of things, but again, don't have the bandwidth to do it. And so this actually gives Congress a tool by which to finally start eke out economy, effectiveness, efficiency out of its program.
Now, these are the themes that the Oversight Committee covered at the hearing today. I want to go back, though, to that, to today's event specifically. Anything that got covered today, any questions members asked or anything like that that surprised you positively or negatively, or things that maybe weren't talked about that you expected to be covered that surprised you one way or the other?
I honestly don't think there are any real surprises. I was really pleased with both sides of the aisle and their real willingness to engage in this topic. There are certainly concerns there. You know, how is the workforce going to be treated as we look at this? And I think that's legitimate. And this is not about changing the workforce or eliminating workforce. It's actually about creating efficiency and effectiveness. And in my career, there's always opportunity. Sometimes where you eliminate positions, you also create other positions in other areas to make things more effective and efficient. So there's some of those kinds of things, but no real surprises at all.
Now, there are a number of elements that could potentially go into this big pot as we're looking at reshaping government. One of the things that I've talked about with a number of HR experts is how you reshape the not just the workforce, the people, but the job descriptions, maybe even the general schedule. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that could wind up getting rolled up into whatever changes happen. Do you have a sense of whether it would be good or bad for a reform effort to go to a great or a lesser extent? Is this something that should be done in small pieces, or is it something that we should do a big bang theory around, or does that not even matter depending on what happens?
Well, specifically talking about civil service reform, you know, establishing policy for that is in a direction for that is Congress's job. However, there's a lot that can be done, whether it's looking at how we classify jobs, how we appraise performance and support performance, how we pay and compensate. This is a system that was created, 50 years ago, and it's time to really catch up. The government does struggle sometimes with paying people equal with market and what's going on in the private sector as well. And it does go both ways. But I think there is an opportunity, and to answer your question, I think it's in incremental steps. To try to take that on as a one large elephant is really too much. But there are, you know, start looking at how we classify jobs and support and describe jobs, and then looking at how we compensate, and then how we manage performance. and other components of this is critical.
You use a word there, though, that is very positive and that I hear a lot more often right now in government than I would expect to, given sequestration and budget and so on and so forth, and that's the word opportunity. Mm-hmm. That indicates to me that you think there is space for something to happen this time instead of for just the conversation to continue and for us to continue to examine our navels, so to speak.
Well, there's a lot of things that Congress has to wrestle with. If you look at the grand bargain items around tax reform and social insurance reform, there's a lot going on. Civil service reform is certainly one of the ones that's way up there. Mm-hmm. We do have to deal with it incrementally, but I think it does provide opportunity for this particular workforce. When you look across the last 2, 3, 4 decades, the size of the federal workforce really hasn't changed all that much. But it's not the size of the workforce that matters. It's what's the capacity and the quality of the workforce to attaining the objectives of our federal government, and where we need to be fungible and move around. You know, there's things the way we manufacture cars today is not the same way we did it 50 years ago. They're all electronic now. So we need different skill sets. We need different skill sets in government, and we need to make sure that OPM and others are really driving that and making sure that we have the right workforce at the right time.
Well, and we even see some intended consequences that are not applicable. We just have been talking about the Senior Executive Service over the last couple of weeks, and the original intention of the SES was that they would be very mobile and move from agency to agency and share the knowledge successes at one agency with another agency, and yet we look at the actual time spent at agencies from SESers, and they tend to go one place and kind of stay there the same as the folks under the general schedule. So there may even be opportunities like that that we're not thinking about yet in the way policy's already laid out. Is it possible that we'll see things like that manifest itself too?
Well, I agree. And like any good large corporation, when they look at succession planning, they'll tag people and they'll start moving them around. You'll work in finance and budget and marketing and delivery services to make sure you have well-rounded executives, certainly by the time they get there. But there's also another piece of GTI that I think is important, is one way of streamlining and creating efficiencies in government is to be able to take opportunities from one agency and transport them over to others, whether they're efficiency opportunities or large buys, to create that effectiveness and have a mechanism. And that's one of the purposes that a commission can support and provide, is knowing what's going on across the entire government. We can take improvement opportunities and innovations and be able to transport them from agency to agency.
All right, we're going to take a break, and let's talk about what a commission, as you mentioned, would look like, how you'd like to see that structured, and talk about those opportunities and what some of the roadblocks might be. We'll do that when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Steve Goodrich, the President and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence and Vice Chairman of the Government Transformation Initiative, my guest, and we'll continue in a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Secure mobile government is here.
Evaluate a department budget at a metro station. View a risk assessment in the park.
Which means almost anything you can do behind a desk, you can now do in the field with a smartphone and the safety and security of the AT&T network.
Update a case report at a bus station.
AT&T extends the cyber defense perimeter of your agency's mobile workforce.
Study new employment stats while teleworking.
So you can now be productive anywhere while knowing your security is predictive and preventive, safeguarding your data.
Collaborate with multiple agencies anywhere.
All on a network whose security is constantly monitored and in real time.
View grant applications from a coffee shop.
Secure mobile government is here. Go to att.com/gov/secure to learn how AT&T Mobile Security can safely connect you to both your agency and constituents.
Make the world your worksite.
AT&T. Rethink possible.
Want to save money on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other healthcare needs? Then visit Village Green Apothecary during the big summer sale now through July 17th. You'll save 30% on the popular Pathway brand nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off natural body care products. Visit Village Green at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or shop online at myvillagegreen.com. And be sure to catch their top-notch radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, every Sunday at 10 a.m.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Zymogen and Metagenic.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The year was 1933, and a 23-year-old engineer named Kelly Johnson was feeling the heat. His bosses at Lockheed Aircraft were betting the future of the company on a new plane, the first to be outfitted with twin engines. What was keeping Johnson up at night was his concern about the stability of the design and what to do about it. Now, after 70 tests in a wind tunnel, he had the answer. Something no one had tried before. Kelly Johnson's twin tail concept for the Model 10 Electra not only stabilized the plane, but also helped usher in a new era in aviation technology. In less than a decade, a Model 12 was flying missions over North Africa, and a Model 14 had flown around the world in record time. The all-metal twin-engine Electra was flying high, and so is Lockheed Aircraft. The Electra story is our story. See it unfold at LockheedMartin.com/100 years.
It's not easy being green. Violence against federal park rangers and park police is increasing. I'm Emily Kopp. On Wednesday's Federal Drive, we'll find out why with PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. And the Hill newspaper joins us to sort through all the congressional proposals to rein in the National Security Agency. It starts at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. And for the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. and federalnewsradio.com. Reinventing Government, the subject of a hearing of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee today. One of the witnesses at the hearing, David Walker, the chairman of the Government Transformation Initiative and former Comptroller General. He'll join us in studio in just a few minutes. Right now, Steve Goodridge, the president and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence and vice chair of GTI, is with me. Now, you mentioned a moment ago, Steve, the concept of a commission to look at these issues. What would that commission look like? How would it be structured? Who'd be on it and so forth?
Well, you know, we look at a commission that has commissioners or members that are appointed by Congress as well as the president, a bipartisan commission, and we've recommended that it have seven members with three on each side of the aisle and one independent. One of the most important parts of GTI is that it really maintain its objectivity and that it maintain its bipartisanship in this process. So you need people who are experienced and effective in these kinds of improvement initiatives, financial management, management consulting. They have to have federal experience, and they have to be very credible and objective. We don't want people that are partisan in any way, but really can look at things in a very, very objective way.
What would you like them to look at in particular? Where would you like them to start?
Well, you know, honestly, the American people have seen many commissions come and go and many things happen. One, I think it absolutely has to be a statutory commission. That's the only way to get the teeth into this to really make it work and make it be effective. And remember, it is an organization that will, if there's a legislative need, it makes recommendations to the Hill. If it's executive in nature, it'll make recommendations to the president and have them enacted that way. Where they start is, in my opinion, with some of the things we talked about, the good work of GAO and others, and create a criteria by which they select programs for review and then conduct assessments of those programs. Now, I also think in order to maintain and create trust and credibility, both here in Washington and with the American people, you want to start with you know, sometimes we call it low-hanging fruit, but I call it real opportunity for change that will make a sizable difference, because we're looking at a commission that, you know, whatever it ends up costing, we should be looking at it, you know, at least a minimum of 10 to 20x return. This is a commission that really has to pay for itself.
Mm-hmm. One of the places the administration has started or would like to start is organizing or reforming, restructuring trade organizations across government. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about, the theory behind that? The administration tells us is we're going to start in this one area, see how it works, and try to scale it if we find that it's successful.
Well, I do think you want to start and create the as I said, the selection criteria, the assessment methodology, and then the implementation plans. And you want to pilot them with some small programs first so that you validate what you're doing and the approach that you're taking. Everybody's going to have their ideas on where they want you to start, and we'll have to vet those and make the right recommendations to move forward. But you know, there was a little bit of laughter in the hearing this morning about, you know, eliminating the tea tasting commission. And it's not GTI is not about eliminating programs. It's certainly where there's programs that have outlived their usefulness for government, we'll make those recommendations. But it's really primarily about how can we make them much more efficient and effective at what they do to serve the American people.
We just have another minute before the break, but I wonder if that might be part of the tone setting that this commission might be helpful on the part of this commission, which is the assumption seems to be on both sides of the aisle that the point of this always is to eliminate programs. That may or may not wind up being the result of this. We may find that the vast majority of these programs are necessary and the capacity is necessary, just not located in the place they're located today. That might be what we wind up finding. Is that something that you think is incumbent on this commission, if it's formed, to let people know that we're not here to shut you down necessarily, we're just here to see how things are working or not working?
Well, I think that's exactly right. And you see multiple agencies building the same system, for example, that perhaps can be shared through shared service systems. And you know, Canada is very good at shared services. But you also have somewhere in the neighborhood between 55 and 75,000 unused federal buildings that are costing this government $8 billion a year in maintenance fees. You know, is there a way to repurpose those buildings, get them used by the communities, by the states? Can they be sold off? What are the opportunities that the government has?
Steve Goodrich is my guest. He's the president and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence and vice chair of the Government Transformation Initiative. He was in the hearing room today for the Reinventing Government hearing in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Take a break and be back in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. What is the power of Ingenuity? It's a commitment by nearly 20,000 ITT Excellus employees to support our nation's military service members, veterans, and their families. That's why they launched the Excellus Action Corps, an employee volunteer program to serve those who have served us so bravely. Visit ExcellusActionCorps.com to learn more and join Excellus employees in your community as volunteers. That's ExcellusActionCorps.com. Excellus. The power of Ingenuity.
What are Navy medicine's strategic priorities? What is force health protection? How is the continuum of care for military personnel being enhanced and strengthened? And how is medical research and development helping Navy medicine? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and more with Vice Admiral Matthew Nathan, Surgeon General of the U.S. Navy. It's next week on the Business of Government Hour. Tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, picture your family and home safe and secure with Ackerman Security Systems. Picture yourself controlling your system remotely on your mobile phone anytime, anywhere. Picture yourself getting video clips and texts of happenings at home before your kids get home from school. Picture everything you can do with the money saved by choosing Ackerman Security.
There's good reason Ackerman Security Systems is the Washington area's most trusted security company. It's because at Ackerman, security is all they do, and they do it better than anyone else. For just $18.95 a month, Ackerman monitors your home for burglary, fire, and medical alert. Already have a system? Switch for free and start saving. Call by Wednesday and get up to 3 months of basic monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
Let's get down to brass tacks. There's nothing more important than trust. CenturyLink offers cybersecurity solutions to the government. And the Department of Homeland Security has approved CenturyLink to provide enhanced cybersecurity services to critical infrastructure entities to keep you efficient and secure. As your trusted technology partner, their visionary cloud infrastructure, global broadband network, along with custom communication solutions and responsive dedicated support, provide the scalable solutions you need 24/7, 365. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more.
Don't smoke that here. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss. With HHS HealthBeat, it used to be that you could light a cigarette just about anywhere. Not so anymore, because more people understand that smoking sickens and kills people, even when it's secondhand. Researcher Brian King of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says national survey data for 2009 and 2010 show 81% of adults had rules against smoking in their homes and 74% had rules against smoking in their cars. This doesn't make everybody's air smoke-free. King says lots of people who don't smoke still can be exposed to secondhand smoke.
Approximately 11 million non-smoking adults are still exposed to secondhand smoke in their homes, and almost 17 million are still exposed in vehicles.
The study was in the CDC journal Preventing Chronic Disease. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
If you're not reading federalnewsradio.com, you're missing out on the most read website in the federal market, featuring federal news and information that affects you every day. Here's what readers are saying about federalnewsradio.com.
I get updated on what's happening before we get the announcement from headquarters.
I get news here I can't seem to find anywhere else.
Federal News Radio treats federal employees as if we were human. What a refreshing change.
Make it your daily read for the news you need. federalnewsradio.com.
Now for your Federal News Radio cybersecurity update, afternoons at 30 minutes after the hour. The United States and Russia have announced the first-of-its-kind cooperation pact regarding cyber threats. The agreement includes the regular exchange of practical technical information on cybersecurity risks to critical systems between U.S. CERT and its Russian counterpart. A new voice communication system will be folded into the existing hotline between the two countries for the U.S. Cybersecurity Coordinator and the Russian Deputy Secretary of the Security Council to use during crisis situations. You get your cybersecurity update afternoons at 30 minutes after the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, continuing our conversation on reinventing government with Steve Goodrich, President and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence and Vice Chair of the Government Transformation Initiative. And you better be on your best behavior now, Steve, because your boss is here. David Walker is the Chairman of the Government Transformation Initiative, former Comptroller General of the United States. David, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio here. Thanks for coming over.
It's great to be here, and it's great to partner with Steve and Barry Melanson on the board of GTI.
Well, thank you for being here. We were talking about the hearing, and I asked Steve what his takeaway was today based on the nature of the question and just kind of the tenor of the room. What did you feel as a witness there today, sir?
Well, we had over 20 members present, which is very good. The hearing went long. They were engaged. And while there were a number of constructive comments made to potentially improve the concept we're talking about, I think there clearly was an understanding that the status quo is unacceptable, that we need to do something. And the question is, how best to go about it.
And that moving forward idea is the stumbling block, as it is many times on Capitol Hill.
Well, it is, because part of the difficulty is that there's a difference between recognizing the problem and acting on the problem. And one of the things that we feel has not happened is that while great work is done by GAO, the inspectors general, OMB, and many others, many times they don't make specific actionable recommendations that Congress then has to say yay or nay on. And that's part of what this commission is all about. You know, very similar to some of the lessons learned from the Hoover commissions, which occurred under both President Truman and President Eisenhower, which were statutory commissions, and therefore you got buy-in from both the Congress and the President before you got started.
Now, Steve, if we use the Hoover Commission as an example, we're in a situation now where 50, 60 years later, we're kind of back in the same position we were then. Is there a way to prevent that this time around, or is this just something that we need to face up to the fact that every so often, every couple of generations, we're going to need to take another look?
Well, you always need to be looking, especially at large complex organizations. And what you really need is an effective mechanism such as the commission to be able to do that. You know, the commission, the Hoover commissions were very effective because of their bipartisanship. And they had a lot of interest and desire to make government more efficient and effective, and that interest has to stay and be systemic.
Is there enough of it, General? I want to give you a chance in just a second, but I wonder if we're in a place now on the Hill that we weren't at the time of the Hoover Commission, where people did work together in a more bipartisan fashion, and relations were a lot better than they are now.
We're clearly more polarized today than we were back during the Truman and Eisenhower era. We've always had partisanship. But we have a great ideological divide today. In the House of Representatives, there's only 35 to 40 seats. There's not really much of a sensible center. But at least I think most people, no matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what your ideology is, will agree that economy, efficiency, effectiveness, and credibility are important. And we need to do something about it. You know, it's not just this commission. I mean, frankly, the federal government doesn't have a plan. It doesn't have a budget. It doesn't have outcome-based performance metrics. We need chief management officials in major departments and agencies that are selected based upon their qualifications with performance contracts and term limits. We need a number of things. But every 50 years or so, you need to make a special effort to try to be able to get it a kick start, and that's what GTI is about.
Well, the fact that this inventory that Steve and I talked about on this program a couple of weeks back, just to have a baseline to start from, that's step one that hasn't existed before now, and that's shocking to a lot of people.
Well, what OMB did was a positive thing. I clearly believe that. You know, if you supplement that with the GAO's high-risk list, which has gone from 14 items in 1990 to 30 items in 2013. You supplement it with the GAO's three reports that they've issued in the last 2 years on duplication, overlap, et cetera. And then, as I said, the good work that's done by the inspectors general, OMB, congressional staff, et cetera. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about a few minutes ago. The tools are there. The resources are there, and the list of things to get started on already exists.
There is, and the other thing to hitchhike on David's words is, you know, over the last 3 or 4 months, we've been meeting with a lot of members on both sides of the House in both parties, and there's real recognition of the stagnation up on the Hill and the need to do something. Mm-hmm. So I think there is energy building around this idea of one way of helping our budget crisis. And looking at things like sequestration, which everybody agrees was a bad decision and a bad thing to do, and creating the opportunity and show the American people they're doing something to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our government.
I guess the frustration that I hear from people inside the agencies, both on the show and just in off-the-record conversations, is how do we get the rock pushed up the hill and keep it up the hill instead of letting it roll back down and roll us all over again? And part of that has to do with the way that the budget is working, because here we are again looking at the possibility of another continuing resolution and a lot of uncertainty as agencies are trying to work through all these issues.
There's only one thing in the United States Constitution that Congress is supposed to do every year, and that's pass annual appropriations bills that ought to be guided by a budget. I'm 61 years old. The Congress has only passed timely budgets and appropriations bills 4 times in 61 years. That's an F minus. And so we clearly have a systemic problem. And yes, we need a number of reforms, both in the legislative branch as well as the executive. But this is designed to be a force multiplier to get us a jump start because we clearly need to show the American people we can get some things done.
We've referenced a number of times the three reports on fragmentation, duplication, overlap from your former organization, Dave. I want to jump off there when we come back to talk about opportunities for agencies that are doing the same things to communicate with each other and how we build that infrastructure so that those conversations can happen. My guests today are Dave Walker and Steve Goodrich of the Government Transformation Initiative, and we'll continue our conversation in just a minute on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Technical and Management Resources, or TMR, is proud to announce their recent preliminary award under the Department of Homeland Security's Eagle II contract. As part of the Eagle II award, TMR will propose and compete on task orders associated with the Functional Category 2 Small Business Track. Founded in 1998 and located in the D.C. metro area, TMR is an IT services company offering professional engineering, planning, and implementation support to federal government agencies and corporate clients. Visit TMRHQ.com to learn more.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon.
It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
Paid for by the National Association of Realtors.
Hamid Jafari eradicated polio in India. John McKinnon rescued 160 victims of child pornography. And Kevin Geis saved the Air Force $1 billion in energy costs. The list of federal employees making a real difference goes on and on. 31 individuals and teams of feds are being recognized for their work. Each has been named a Service to America Medal finalist. Hear interviews with each of the nominees and learn more about what makes them tick at federalnewsradio.com. Search Service to America.
If you know someone who's done something outstanding in the field of human capital management, nominate them for Federal News Radio's 4th Annual COSI Awards. Help us call attention to best practices in your office and government-wide. You can nominate anyone, career, political, or a contractor working in the HR field. The award is named after Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike COSI and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the COSI Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search COSI Award.
Now your Federal News Radio DOD report, brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. Military leaders are moving women closer to the front lines of battle. The Army could begin training women for the Rangers in mid-2015. Women could start training to be Navy SEALs in 2016. Plans show that military services have also mapped out a schedule to review physical and mental standards for combat women. After review, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel has ordered the services to move ahead. Military brass have suggested bringing senior women from the officer and enlisted ranks into special forces units first. That way, they could ensure the younger, lower-ranking women have a support system to help them through the transition. You get your DOD report brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My guest in studio today from the Government Transformation Initiative, Steve Goodrich, the vice chair, and the chairman, David Walker, both on the Hill today. Dave, you were testifying before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee at the Reinventing Government hearing, and Steve, you were observing that hearing from the gallery. One of the issues that we've run into in just about every aspect of talking about all of these issues is one agency doing one thing, another agency doing something similar, and the inability of those two or three or however many to communicate with each other to be able to understand anything. I mean, and it can start just at best practices, let alone the execution of the programs and collaboration on the programs. What is your sense, either one of you, about what's lacking and how we fix that problem, because that could go a long way toward, I think, easing the concerns of some of the folks that we heard about at the hearing today. Steve, you want to start with that one?
Sure. The way to start is communication, and a commission will actually facilitate that. Look, each one of these agencies is the size of a significant size or a corporation, and they've got their focus, they've got their mission, they've got things they have to achieve. But there's opportunity when an agency buys 1,000 licenses for a piece of software that goes sit on the shelf. Agency B needs those licenses, and they go out and buy them themselves, and not knowing that there's an inventory available over here, or certainly a large technology infrastructure that can be used to support shared services. But each agency then builds their own, wasting time and valuable taxpayer dollars.
How much of that is just worldview and habit, though, Dave? How much of it is?
It's a cultural issue.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, there's two aspects. We have lines of business, which are typically are vertical. You know, they tend to be departments and agencies or programs, if you will. And then you have functions of business, which are horizontal, things like procurement, human capital, information technology, et cetera. Each department and agency tends to operate pretty independently. And OMB, which is the arm of the White House designed to focus on both budget management, is the mechanism that's supposed to try to help look across government, across those silos. And they do the best they can, but they've got very limited resources. And so, as I said, you know, one of the things you have to do is let's inventory what we have. Let's inventory all the different programs that we have. Let's inventory the different departments and agencies. Let's inventory the different shared service centers and a variety of other things that we have. And let's see how we can work to try to streamline and simplify so that we are cutting in areas that aren't going to hurt performance, and so that we have more fiscal flexibility to actually invest in programs that work, in activities that work. So it's not all negative. There's a positive aspect to this for federal workers.
Are you encouraged by the measurement mentality that you see at OMB and across the agencies now? The Bush administration did it a little bit differently than President Obama's administration is doing it now, but at least they're doing it. And my sense is that before that, there wasn't a whole lot of measurement going on.
You can't manage what you don't measure, and what you measure matters. And I think it's clearly improved. I think we clearly have a way to go, but I think it's clearly improved. And the question is that how can we end up accelerate action on large, known, and growing problems? And that's what GTI is about.
When reinventing government started over 20 years ago, one of the first things I said was it's going to take a couple of generations. And Dave's right. It's a cultural thing. So you can't measure – you have to measure it first in order to know what you're doing. But they have to be meaningful measures, and they have to be measures that are focused on serving the American people and what's needed for that.
You mentioned reinventing government, and I don't want to slight my friends from the Clinton administration at OMB who were responsible for starting the reinventing government movement under Vice President Gore. But that was, if you go back before that, your work at GAO indicated that the measurement mechanism was probably not as strong as it could have been.
No, that's true. And, of course, you know, you can always talk about the positives and negatives. But one of the things that you talked about, Francis, I found when I was Comptroller General of the United States and head of the GAO, I used to have what was called what we called Comptroller General forums, where I would end up bringing people together from within government, outside of government, et cetera, to address common challenges. And it was shocking to me how many times that, whether it be financial literacy, you know, whether it be the Postal Service or whatever it might be, that it's the first time that many of these people had ever gotten in a room together talking about issues. Where I found out, for example, there were 22 different agencies focusing on financial literacy, but they weren't talking to each other. Needless to say, government is not leading by example on financial literacy, among other things. But, I mean, you know, it's amazing. It comes back to the fact we have too many layers, too many players, and too many hardened silos.
And that silo breakdown is where we'll continue in just a minute when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Steve Goodrich and David Walker of the Government Transformation Initiative when we continue on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Information Management Minute, provided by Iron Mountain.
Federal agencies are grappling with tighter budgets and exponential information growth. The Presidential Directive on Records Management asks agencies to create a government-wide records management framework that is more efficient and cost-effective. Compliance will help agencies transition from paper-based records to electronic records, manage their temporary and permanent records in a compliant manner, and enhance agencies' capability to meet missions and foster open government and the public's access to government records more easily.
Is your agency looking to realize better efficiencies and cost savings through a proven information management program? Iron Mountain stores and protects billions of information assets, including paper records, backup tapes, electronic files, and medical data, helping federal agencies manage their entire information lifecycle. Learn more at ironmountain.com/radio.
The year was 1957. The date was October 4th, and Americans woke up to a strange new reality. The first satellite launched into space wasn't ours. The Russians had gotten there first. Sputnik 1 may have been the size of a beach ball, but it was the space shot heard round the world.
Today, a new moon is in the sky.
And it galvanized the nation into action. The Martin Company rose to meet the challenge. Then, on St. Patrick's Day, 1958, a Martin-built Vanguard rocket roared into space with a shamrock taped to its side and put the world's first solar-powered satellite into orbit. 4 months later, the president signed the legislation that created NASA. The rest, as they say, is history. A history that is still being written by the scientists and engineers of Lockheed Martin. Their story is our story. See it unfold at LockheedMartin.com/100 years.
At BAE Systems, we realize it's critical that our armed forces can get the job done, even when budgets are tight. That's why our engineers created the technology to transform an unguided munition into a precision laser-guided rocket, the perfect low-cost surgical strike solution. Knowing our work makes a difference inspires us every day, so we'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
Federal agencies siphon more than $2 trillion through financial management systems every year to ensure accuracy and efficiency when dispersing to individuals and organizations. Over the years, these systems have grown on top of each other, impeding the flow and synchronization of data. As a result, waste, fraud, and abuse are at an all-time high. Join FCA Bethesda June 20th as top agency officials discuss how financial management assets, systems, and analytics are being leveraged to improve data integrity. Register today at fciabethesda.org/JUNbreakfast.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Just a few more minutes with David Walker and Steve Goodrich of the Government Transformation Initiative. And gentlemen, we were talking during the break about this idea of breaking down silos among agencies. And the example of the intelligence community came up, Dave, following on your comments about what we learned about 9/11 and information sharing in the IC. And I wonder if there's not a strategy there, a structure there, that we can just copy and steal and move it to other places across government for agencies to be able to communicate with each other and share information, share what you have and share what you know. Because, Steve, to your point, I've never gotten a sense that people want to create duplication in government, that they want to consciously do the same thing somebody else is doing. So it seems like the mindset is probably there to be receptive to that kind of thing.
I think it is, and you know, it's always difficult to take time out of my day to go off and go investigate and research. But the IC, the intelligence community, after 9/11, they started developing big data systems so they could start talking to each other and sharing information. In law enforcement, they've started sharing information considerably, same as they're doing in healthcare right now. And in the operations and management environment, whether it's building a large technology system or looking at who has what training programs that can benefit me, this information sharing initiative or some type of information sharing initiative can be a hallmark of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we know through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which I learned in undergraduate school,
yes,
that self-preservation is the most fundamental thing. And we found out the hard way as a result of 9/11 that the federal government was not very good with regard to information sharing. And if you look at GAO's high-risk list,
you know, one of the things it has the biggest challenge with is having integrated information systems. There's an opportunity to learn from that community and to apply those practices in operations and management. You have to know who's responsible for what and what exists in order to be able to start the effort to build to build the systems and to have people learn from best practices, avoid common mistakes, and to deal with this on a systemic and recurring basis.
But you kind of took us back there, Dave, to where we were when we were talking about the cultural parts of this. And I wrote down two words that I hear more often than any others when it comes to that idea, and that's risk aversion. It doesn't turn out to get people where they want to be, but the mentality seems to be, if I don't do this or if I do this, I'm going to stay out of trouble.
Well, the problem is that, you know, there's too much of a risk aversion in the government. There's too much of a compliance attitude in the government. The truth is you can't maximize value and promote innovation without taking on some level of risk. The key is you want to maximize value while innovating and managing risk. That does not mean minimizing risk. It means making conscious choices when you're taking on risk, learning from what works and what doesn't work so that you are mitigating those risks over time. Now, part of that has to do with, you know, with our performance management system and our recognition and reward systems, okay? And so, frankly, those are areas that we have to look at if we want to improve government performance and if we want to attract and retain top people in government, which we do.
Steve, we just have a minute or so left, but that takes us back to the very place that you and Dave were today, which is Capitol Hill. And one of the reasons that risk aversion is so popular in federal agencies is because they don't want to wind up on the wrong end of a conversation with Congressman Issa or somebody on the Senate side.
Or on the front page of the Washington Post.
Well, that too.
Yeah. So we really have to develop both our government leaders in our rank and file around managing risk and culturally managing risk, because you're not going to innovate without a little bit of risk. And we recognize, look, we're all spending taxpayer dollars, and that's your money, that's my money, and we want to spend it wisely. But innovation is a cornerstone to making this happen, and we have to be tolerant of a little.
Gentlemen, we have a ton more that we could cover. I have another hour of the program ahead of me, and you have other commitments at much bigger and more important places than here, I understand. But I'm very grateful for your time today, both of you, for coming in and talking about these issues. I'd love to continue this dialogue.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thanks, Francis. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it. David Walker, Chairman of the Government Transformation Initiative and former Comptroller General of the United States. Steve Goodrich, President and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence and Vice Chair of the Government Transformation Initiative. Our conversation archive later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. In the second hour of In Depth with Francis Rose, coming up on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.